It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Yes, I am. Unabashedly so. It's hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. Danny Burke is here as well. We got Brady Cannon coming up to talk about the PGA. Dave Tindall will talk PGA with us as well. Might as well get the golf in. Got a lot of thoughts on this. We'll give our picks, multiple picks from people winning the PGA down there at Harding Park in San Francisco. I meant what I said. I've spent most of this pandemic in San Francisco, lived there for most of my adult life. And there are times in the summer where when it's 110 to 115 here in Las Vegas, where I will fly back and forth and it will be a 50 degree drop. No kidding. Like it goes from the hottest place in the country to the coldest place in the country during the summer. And when I say 65 degrees, you may be thinking to yourself, oh, well, 65 is very pleasant. No. That's not how 65 in San Francisco works. 65 in San Francisco is like blustery and British Open-y. So we'll get Brady and Dave's thoughts on that coming up, because this is not what you don't. If you're picturing sunshine, that may, you may be in for a surprise. Scores may be a lot more. This is not going to be your typical pandemic tournament, is my thinking on that. As far as our picks across the board yesterday, Danny, and we had tons of picks. Dan Beebe and I both had the over in the Pacers game, winner. I had the White Sox plus 118 against the Reds yesterday, winner. Although Colum A really tried to botch that for us in the ninth. Two down to two strikes, little dribbler to him. He whiffs on it. Runner at first. He gets the next batter to two strikes, base Canuck. Next thing you know, you have runners at second and third. You should have been out of the inning, and he escapes. Thankfully, I would have lost my mind. But that was yesterday, by the way. The White Sox yesterday were plus 118, so that's a winner. Mike Palm also had that game. He had two other baseball games. Mike Palm on the show, 3-0 in baseball. Those are all the good picks yesterday. So Mikey's baseball, my baseball, me and Dano's basketball. The bad was, I think Mikey went 1-4 on the hockey picks, looking at those, the Palm Reader's playbook. So I think the only one he got there was the Islanders. The others didn't come through. By the way, there was a Wild pick that's not listed there. That didn't come through. So 1-4 on the hockey picks. And then the tennis pick from Dan Westin did not hit. It was a plus 246 dog on Teague playing Anna Kontaveit, who was the fourth seed there at the Palermo Open in Sicily. Teague, who was the plus 246 dog, who we had lost the first set, but then she was up two breaks in the second set. She was up 3-love in the second set. I fell asleep and I woke up right as the score went to 6-3 the other way. Like she never won another game. I was like, wait, what happened? What happened? What happened was she got the two breaks back and she beat her. So we lost on that. So, baseball was excellent yesterday. We'll have more picks coming up. Hockey, not so much. Basketball, good. Tennis, not so good. So it was a mixed bag yesterday.
Joe Fortenbaugh had a couple winners.
Oh, what did he have?
He had Blazers plus 4 and Suns plus 9.
Oh, I forgot because he was right at the end of the show. He did. He had both of those. Oh, let me not sell Joe short. All right. So basketball was excellent yesterday on the show. Baseball was excellent. We didn't miss anything and had multiple picks in each. The other sports, not so much. Day to day, Danny and I were talking about this earlier, you know, this week and less. It's funny how certain sports on different days fall by the wayside. One day you're not playing baseball. The next day, oh, I'd rather gravitate back towards baseball. It really is about the pricing and, you know, obviously the matchups and all of these. But I'm going to say in general, pre-flop basketball betting on sides would be the last thing I would do with all of these. Totals, yes. But sides, man, in-game the heck out of that. And then the other thing that has turned, if you've been in-gaming hockey on unders, that worked beautifully the first couple days, and now you're getting crushed on it if you're doing that now, because a lot of goals late. So hockey, this is where I reference my buddy E, who's one of the most, if not the most successful sports bettor I know. His thing is, again, with hockey, he's like, how do you guys possibly bet this stuff? It's all ricochets and caroms and bounces. Y'all acting like you're doing something betting hockey. That's his opinion on it. Maybe he's right. Doesn't work for him anyway. But anyway, we got picks coming up in the Major League Baseball, in the NBA. We'll see what Danny has, if he has any hockey. And we certainly have golf. It's Gil Alexander. It's Danny Burke. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 204. Let us talk PGA, golf's first major of the year at Harding Park in San Francisco. It's the host, co-host, that is, of Long Shots here on the network, the greatest golf gambling show there ever was. And oh, by the way, he's won a super contest. It's Brady Cannon. Good morning, Brady.
It's a major, baby.
Yeah, it's a major. It's a little different than we thought it would be, but, you know, we're going to start the year with the PGA. There is no Open Championship this year, but the PGA is the first of three majors. All right, Brady, you heard me talking about the weather and how that's going to be at Harding Park. Let's start there. Like, who does that favor? Or who will that, and based on the course itself, which is going to play long, I would imagine, who does that favor?
Yeah, first part, the weather there, it is very significant, and it's not just, and I agree with you, 65 can be unpleasant in San Francisco, and there is going to be a breeze. The first day, tomorrow, looks like it's going to have the most significant wind, not much in the morning, but probably up to 20 miles an hour in the afternoon, and that's something to think about in your matchups, especially if you're playing first round matchups. There is a weather bias as far as teeing off early versus teeing off late, so pay attention to that. But expected breezes in the neighborhood of 12 to 20 miles an hour throughout the week, temperatures highs of about 65. I think you're going to kind of see a little bit of everything, Gil. There will be sunshine. There will be fog. There will be cold. I mean, it's almost like you could go from shorts and a T-shirt to a sweater and rain pants over the course of the 4 days, I think. Now, who does it favor? There are certainly some players that are very good in wind and others that are not. And generally speaking, Europeans and Australians are very good wind players. You look at Mark Leishman and Jason Day. They play very well in the wind. Europeans like Shane Lowry. I've bet Shane Lowry at Pebble Beach before when I knew they were going to have some weather there. And he ended up finishing top 10 for me. Ricky Fowler, as far as an American, is traditionally a very good wind player. And you look at where guys come from. Guys that went to Oklahoma State University, like Ricky Fowler, went to college playing in the wind. And guys from Las Vegas, too. Charlie Hoffman, Ryan Moore, Adam Scott, a UNLV running rebel. These guys grew up learning how to play in wind, too. And it's kind of a double whammy for Scott, as he's also a Australian. So it's hard to pinpoint exactly particular players that are great wind players, but generally speaking, Europeans and Australians deal with it more than Americans do.
But you made a great point there, which I don't want to get lost. That's a very sharp point you made there, Brady, earlier, which is for first round or second round matchups, if you're doing it that way, and we generally don't, we generally do full tournament matchups, but let's say you are. That is such a great point about San Francisco. When I first moved to the Bay, and I live in San Francisco, this is a true story. I would work a radio shift from midnight to 6 a.m. playing the jams, Brady Cannon, playing the jams. And by the way, it was KMEL jams back in the day. Sway was there. You ain't got all the answers, Sway. Larry Jackson was there. It was great. Anyway, I would get off air at 6 a.m. And I would think, right, from my D.C. sensibility where I grew up, I'm like, oh, I'm in California. I get off the air at 6 a.m. I'm going to go play golf, right? And I would go to the golf course, and I would be in, like, shorts. And I'd be like, oh, my God, this is the most miserable thing I've ever experienced in my life. What's wrong with me? No one told me. It can be miserable if you're teeing off early and much more favorable late. And I think that's a great point on your part, Brady, about these round one or round two matchups.
Well, you're right. And like I say, I think it plays into what you're saying too, where you're going to see a little bit of everything. I think there's going to be beautiful, sunny 65 degree portions of this tournament or afternoons, if you will. And there's going to be very chilly mornings where the guy's in a ski cap and a sweater with that morning layer of fog and whatnot. With no wind and then a lot of wind in the afternoon. Now, specifically what they're expecting on Thursday is virtually no wind until almost 12 noon, and then by 2 o'clock blowing as high as 20 miles an hour.
Oh, so, wow. Okay, so even that's different. Yeah.
So, like Scottie Scheffler, for instance, is in a matchup against Bubba Watson. That's one of the matchups that I played. Scottie Scheffler's teeing off at like 7 a.m. Bubba Watson's teeing off at, I want to say, 1:30 in the afternoon or something. Big advantage for Scheffler, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that adds a wrinkle to it. I don't know. Now I'm not so sure about my hypothesis on that after hearing when the wind's going to pick up. So that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough with these first round and second rounds if that's the case, if the wind picks up late. All right, Brady, let's just throw out your picks. Let's go through them. You got some outrights. You got some head-to-heads. Do you find yourself, when it's a major, do you find yourself getting a little more frisky than you otherwise would on some of these other? I do, too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Why not, right?
Me, too.
Like you texted me yesterday, it's a major, baby.
That's right.
But you know what? Actually, some people posed that question on Twitter, and you can be a little bit irresponsible, caught up in the excitement.
No doubt.
And you do have to try and temper that and fall back on discipline, one of the most important things about mm-hmm. sports betting, right? But there's such a lure when you – and this is typically what we see with the Masters, because the Masters, the futures board, comes up, you know, right around Christmas or something. And so you're looking at this board for, you know, 4, 5, 6 months going, oh, boy, I can get Gary Woodland at 150-1. I'll grab that, and I'll grab that. And mm-hmm. pretty soon it's April 6th, and they're ready to tee off at Augusta, and you've got 12 guys in your pocket. So, you know, that tends to happen when they put a major championship futures board up so early. You start plucking off guys that you see good value, and then you start adding more as you get closer to the event, and information develops, and you really start honing in on your handicap. So, yeah, I've got a haul of guys. I typically play maybe 5, 6, 8, maybe at the max, and this year I've got 10. But I did spread it out, and you do have to be responsible. I mean, you can't just play 6 guys that are chalk either.
Right.
That's not going to, you know, likely turn a profit for you. As far as the chalk, though, I went with 3. I went with John Rahm, Dustin Johnson, and Xander Schauffele. And one theme that I kind of went with, Gil, and I am a proponent of playing, you know, corollary course setups. You know, guys that do well at course A ought to do well at course B. And a lot of the guys I played this week do well in California. John Rahm has won at Torrey Pines. He's finished 3rd at the WGC Mexico. He's finished 3rd at Riviera. He's finished 3rd at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach last year. And keep in mind, Riviera and Chapultepec in Mexico have the same putting surface, a Poana bentgrass blend that they have at Harding Park. Dustin Johnson, maybe the most prolific record in the state of California in the history of golf. You know, Pebble Beach, he's won twice. Riviera, he's won twice. Mexico, he's won twice. So I went with guys like that, you know, that they ought to find this course, you know, suiting to their eye and what they're comfortable with as far as putting on these greens. And, you know, hopefully that works.
Yeah. Though remember, this ain't California. This is Harding Park in the Bay. You know, that's the thing. It's just so different. Now, notably, so when we're showing them at VSiN.com and the VSiN app, Brady's futures on the left. What does 1-3 mean? What is that in parentheses? What are we talking about there? I don't know what that means on the screen. Anyway, those are your futures there, or those are your outright market wins, or those to win the PGA, who you have bets on. Notably absent are, and I get it, they're the short shots, but no Rory and no Brooks Koepka. You resisted the urge to play those.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you do have to kind of diversify your portfolio, and maybe you go with, you know, one or two of the shorter shots, and, you know, then because likely one of those guys is going to be in the mix. So take your pick. Do you want Justin Thomas? Do you want Rory McIlroy? Do you want Brooks Koepka? Do you want John Rahm? I mean, those are basically the best 4 players in the world and also the top 4 guys on the odds board.
Yeah.
And you may not want any of them, but Wes Reynolds picked off a real good nugget with John Rahm at the Workday Charity Open before he went on to win the Memorial. And he shot a 64 on the final day at the Workday. Got really hot on Sunday. And then, of course, went into the next week and won the Memorial. He ascended to number 1 in the world, went to Memphis, and started off very sluggish, understandably, with the pressure and you know, being anointed the best player in the world. That's kind of tough to continue the run that you've been on. So it wasn't surprising to see him struggle for the first 3 days. But then on Sunday, he shot 66. So I like the way he turned it around the final day in Memphis. He comes in here to a course that should suit his eye. He's one of the best drivers of the golf ball in the world, and I think that's the type of player you're going to want to look for this week, a guy that is very good off the tee, long and straight, which John Rahm is. And I also think there's probably a little something that says, hey, I kind of want that number one spot in the world back. So I went with him off of his California record and what I've seen recently. I picked Dustin Johnson because he's been very erratic lately, but let's not forget, 6 weeks ago he won. He also had a very good tournament in Memphis, and I think the price has drifted up because people are unsure about DJ. I think it's a little bit of a buy low spot on Johnson. But Thomas, I don't want to back him this week because he just won last week. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to go back-to-back, but it just doesn't seem...
Yeah.
You know, and also now he's number one in the world again. So he's got that title, that pressure. And Rory has just been kind of flat in the restart. He was so good before the shutdown, but he hasn't done much since. And I know he won here in 2015. But again, that's my reasoning for going with Rahm towards the top of the board and skirting the other guys.
Yeah, and by the way, for those who are wondering, like I was, what 1-3 on the top of that PGA Championship place for Brady Cannon meant? It meant, or it means, that Brady has won three outrights already this year. He's 1-3.
Oh,
feet.
Yes.
I didn't understand what that
meant. I
thought
you meant the number 13, 1-3. No. I've won, yeah. Yeah, hit JT last week, hit Tyrell Hatton at Bay Hill, and hit Webb Simpson in Phoenix.
Yeah. I'm going to get to my picks later, and I got a little Tyrell Hatton. I got a little Daniel Berger. I just like these guys who are course-proof, even though maybe this course isn't perfect for their games. I've got some money on those guys. Top 10 finishes, you have John Rahm, Xander Schauffele, Dustin Johnson at plus 160, plus 185, plus 185, respectively. Do you have any head-to-heads, Brady?
Yeah, and as far as those top 10 and top 20s, that's kind of just like a little bit of a hedge with your future plays, right? So the shorter shots I played also for top 10s, and then the longer shots I played also for top 20s. As far as the head-to-heads, I did kind of lean on the early-late draw that we spoke about, Gil. Those guys teeing off early on Thursday are going to be sans wind, and those guys teeing off late on Thursday are going to be in some pretty heavy wind. So I went with Scottie Scheffler over Bubba Watson. Also, I kind of have a personal rule that you bet against Bubba in a U.S. Open, period. And I feel that this PGA Championship is going to play very much like a U.S. Open. The fairways are narrow. The rough is extremely thick. And that's not Bubba's game. Bubba plays tremendous at Augusta National when it's a wide open field. But if the wind starts blowing and he finds his ball in the rough, he's going to get frustrated. And I'd rather be on the other side against him. Played John Rahm over Bryson DeChambeau. DeChambeau's never finished higher than 15th in a major. And similar to Bubba, hits it a mile. But, you know, as good as Bryson can be, I also think he's very susceptible to making a 10 or an 8, as we have seen in some recent tournaments. He is likely to make a big number. So I took Rahm over Bryson. Took Danny Willett over Mickelson. Mickelson, another guy that I think gets wayward off the tee and could find himself in the rough all day long. And I'll go with the Englishman there, Gil, who, you know, could be a good wind player as well. Probably better than Mickelson as far as the wind goes. And then finally, another early late draw. Went with Xander Schauffele over Webb Simpson. Xander, one of the top players in the game. So is Simpson, but again, I think he'll struggle with that late draw and the wind, and not as good off the tee as Xander Schauffele.
Man, this is going to be so much fun. You're getting me so charged up for this.
It's a major, baby.
Yeah, and it's all during NBA and NHL and baseball. Man, it's going to be
great. Isn't that wild? There's like 17 things to watch every half hour every night.
It's phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And there'll be a Triple Crown race sometime soon too, you know. By the way, we forgot to mention Brady has some top 20s as well. Fitzpatrick, Woodland, Garcia, Horschel, Spieth, Scheffler, and Reavy from anywhere between plus 175 to plus 350 in that list as well. So you've got outrights, top 10s, top 20s, head-to-heads, and a plethora, a myriad of picks in each. man, you are going to be all over the place. Now, do you late? We only have 60 seconds here left, Brady, but last question. Do you find yourself on Sunday late just, you know, whatever you've got going here is one thing, but you find yourself jumping into an in-game at that point and starting anew?
Well, I like to look on Friday night. I like to look at the midway point and see if there's a guy that makes sense heading into the weekend, and then I'll maybe take another look on Saturday night heading into Sunday morning. And sometimes I'll make a play, sometimes I won't. But that's really about as much as I do as far as the in-game in golf, Gil.
Interesting. Yeah, I find myself, regardless of what I have pre-flop, copyright numbers game Beeson, regardless of what I have, Sunday late, I will reassess, you know, who's in contention. By the way, that doesn't always go well. You know, that's as difficult as it gets too.
Depends on the leaderboard too, right?
Yeah, sure.
The margin of between the guys and stuff. But yeah, no, I'll take a look.
Yeah. And if you're lucky enough to have a pre-flop live, it gives you some hedging opportunities to get off bets, that kind of thing. So it's just golf is the sport most ripe for a betting revolution. There's no other sport with this many players in a pool over a 4-day span. There's just so much you can do with it, and there's so much more we can do with it as a betting culture. Brady, enjoy it. Thank you, my friend.
You too, buddy. Hope your picks go well.
Me too. You best of luck to you as well. Brady Cannon, host of co-host along with Wes Reynolds of Long Shots here on the network at VSIN, the Vegas Stats Information Network, the Sports Betting Network, and of course, you know, you can do all your golf needs at Tee Times USA. Brady will hook you up with that as well. Dave Tindall on the PGA later. We got to talk about producer number 7. We'll update that next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSIN20 at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off at Manscaped.com with promo code VSIN20. It's Gil Alexander here at the South Point Hotel Casino in San Francisco, in Las Vegas. We're just talking about San Francisco and Harding Park and the PGA a second ago. Danny Burke is here as well. Okay, for those who have missed it and have not tuned in this week, and might not have seen all the Twitter buzz that has gone on with this, I am looking for producer number 7. We haven't mentioned it on the show yet today. Danny Burke is producer number 6, and Danny is on his way here in the company to do other things, fabulous things. And so that leaves me without a producer. And so, you know, I kind of go through them pretty quick, I'd say. And as I like to sort of admit, perhaps it's me. But in the end, these folks who have all these guys who have been my producer. By the way, somebody requested that I do a "Where Are They Now" with every producer.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, Danny's got to go to where he is now before we can do that. But I mentioned the other day, and I don't want this to be the only. Like, here's the thing: this is a springboard. But if you're taking this job, you got to be about this show. Like the springboard part, it's kind of secondary. Like if it works out, you springboard, right? But you got to put in the work and the time here. And listen, we have a ball. For 2 hours every day, we get to talk about sports and sports betting. Not a bad gig, huh, Danny? Not a bad gig.
Not bad at all.
Not at all.
It's the life, man.
It is. And, you know, so I'm looking for someone who is, again, now, all submissions are being taken at numbers@vsin.com. numbers@vsin.com. We're looking for someone who is smart. And by the way, when I say we, I do mean we. It's not just me who's going to pick this. It's a collaborative effort here. I will be able to, you know, put my finger on the scale, if you will. But at numbers@vsin.com, send in your resume. And more importantly, a 60 to 90 second video of why you believe, just you, you know, doing your thing, why you believe you should be producer number 7 of A Numbers Game at VSiN. The requirements are simple. Just be smart. Be funny. No sports. Those are the main 3 things. Be good to work with. Be a good person. But I just want to say the submissions that have come in, and there have been a lot of them. They are, I mentioned this on Twitter yesterday, they have been funny, they have been creative, they have been poignant. One of them almost made me weep. Bill Ady was saying the same thing. Like, they were just so touching, that one. But people are so creative, right? I don't want to, like, share other people's ideas, but people were making me laugh on there. Their knowledge of the show, which is, you know, not 100% requirement, but helps, was so great. People pay attention to every word we're saying. People are funny, man. Some lip syncing on there. Some people are super professional. Some people are off the cuff. Just be yourself. That's the main thing that I can suggest with all this. Be yourself. We want to see you, the authentic you, and get a sense of your character, a sense of your passion, a sense of your desire to have a career in sports media. And whether that becomes like Danny Burke moving on to something else, like Jeff Parles moving on to something else, like Matt Jones getting a job in Tampa television, like Jorge Mondaca getting a job here in Las Vegas television, whether that happens or not, that'll be up to you to some degree. Maybe you'll want to do that. Maybe you'll have so much fun here with us that you won't ever even want to do that kind of stuff. I'm not saying you have to stay here forever, but, you know, for a while. Make it about this show and about your passion for sports. And again, if you're not the biggest sports bettor in the world, we will not hold that against you. Sports betting knowledge is absolutely a plus. But as my buddy E said, he goes, nah, that's just gravy. If every once in a while they have a sports opinion, that's fine. Just do what, like, do something like what Jorge did. Assess the passion of national anthem singers and soccer sides, whatever you can provide on your own. But really, you just have to be about... You have to want to be about sports betting. You have to have a passion for it, be immersed in it on a day-to-day level so that you know what we're talking about. You cannot fake true knowledge of sports betting. It's either in your DNA or it's not. You as a producer don't have to be the biggest sports bettor in the world, but you got to know sports. That's a requirement. Because we tried it the other way, and that don't work so well.
And then the deadline, too.
Yes. Thank you, Danny. August 14th, next Friday. Not this Friday, but next Friday. So a week from this Friday, August 14th, the deadline for submissions at numbers@vsin.com. 60 to 90 second video. I know some people threw in some audio instead of video. We prefer video, whatever you can do. Express yourself. The search for producer number 7 right here in a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dave Tindall coming up to talk PGA. We will have all of our picks, our golf picks, baseball, basketball. It's on the way. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
Danny wants me to sing this. Sports are back. Sports are back in full swing. Now's the time to subscribe to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're offering our best price. We are offering our best price, that is, of 2020 on short and long-term packages. We even offer a free trial if you still aren't sure which option is best for you. Take advantage of this offer before the price goes up for football season. Subscribe today and put the VSiN experts to work for you with daily email updates that include our best bets from every show, host, and guest, 24/7 video access, Point Spread Weekly, our annual NFL betting guide, and more. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today and get in on this special offer before it expires. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. So let me get this straight. UConn, it's not safe enough for them to play football, so they're not playing football. But the big conferences where all those millions of dollars are involved, it's safe enough for them. Okay, just scoring at home. Just making sure. People don't like when I talk that way, Danny. Just so it's a little bit of a logic to all of this. Apparently we're getting college football. As early as September 5th in the Big Ten. We shall see. All right. So we've given you Brady Cannon's golf picks already today. Let's go around the horn with some golf picks. These include mine, Joe Pita's, and Rufus Peabody's. We'll start with mine. We can throw them all up on the screen here at VSiN.com, the VSiN app. This is for the PGA this week. I am taking flyers in the outright market to win on 5 dudes. Tyrrell Hatton, 81-1. By the way, I have him at for the Masters at 70-1. Tyrrell Hatton, I think, I haven't looked recently, but was for strokes gained, his best best golfer in the world right now. And he is course proof. We talk about course proof. Which of these guys, Todd Wright will be on tomorrow. And we talked about like who's course proof. And the two guys at the top of my list are just that. Tyrrell Hatton at 81-1, Daniel Berger at 40.5-1. That's where I got him. I'm playing him just because if those guys win a tournament, I'm in that mode now where I almost got to bet on these guys every week. Because if they win and I'm not on it, I'm going to kill myself, right? Max Homa, who, if I'm not mistaken, Max Homa won. Joe Pete and I both have Max. He won at Harding Park in some ancillary tournament at some point. Let me make sure I have that right. So he has some history at Harding Park in San Francisco, does Max Homa at 150-1. I'm all about that. By the way, he's a local guy, Max Homa. He won a U.S. Open sectional qualifier at Harding Park, did Max Homa. And I have Tommy Fleetwood. I love the number, 52.5-1. You know Fleetwood's good for one spectacular round every tournament. And then of the short shots, I took it on Koepka. I went Brooks Koepka. Just over 12-1. That's my dude. Can't have him winning. I'm like playing defensive golf betting. It's like most of my golf bets are like, if this dude wins, I'm going to hate myself. So I'm betting him.
That's exactly what I've done with golf too.
That's I like my click old golf it or strategy.
Like I'll make a bet, then like kind of go away. But I was like, No, I have to play because if he wins, I'm going to be so pissed.
Isn't that so funny? That's what golf is like. I keep this guy every week. We said it's like, well, anybody can win it. I'll be fine. Except for if this guy wins it, I'm going to hate myself forever because I was going to bet him. So these are my five guys. Hatton, Berger, Homa, Fleetwood, and Koepka at those prices. Rufus Peabody, who is one of the most successful bettors in the world, if not, you know, the best. I don't know. But Rufus is playing golf today in Bar Harbor, Maine. Told him to have a lobster for me. Beautiful part of the country at this time of year. Maine is. I was in Bar Harbor as a kid. The lobster is a plenty. So he's playing golf, so he couldn't come on the show today. But he did say, let everybody know that the person I expect to win is Rory McIlroy. And the price you should take a Rory at is 12-1 or better. So don't grab a Rory at like 10-1. But 12-1 or better, Rufus says, grab Rory. Joe Pita, who I mentioned, he has Tommy Fleetwood. He has Ben on 90-1. He's got Max Homa at 125-1. He also has some flyers on Tony Finau at 50-1, Danny Willett at 150-1, and Brant Snedeker at 300-1. How about that? Taking a little Snedeker for Joe Pita at 300-1. So he's got six players too. So anyway, if you want a smattering of golf picks, you got it from Brady, myself, Joe Pita, Rufus Peabody, Dave Tindall still to come. Who are you taking, Dan? You got a pick?
I'm not doing anything for golf today specifically. I only have really circled out NHL right now. And
what do you have in NHL?
Yeah, I'm going to ride the Penguins. I know it's chalky. I got it at about minus 165 last night.
Mm.
Look, the Canadiens got the win in game one. It was pretty surprising to most people. I know Mike Palm's been big on the Penguins as well. So I have the Penguins in the series price. I took them in the second game, and I'm taking them in this game as well. So, look, I think it's just really going to be the time where they start cruising, and they're going to show the team that they actually are. And the Canadiens are kind of just fall back to what they were during the course of the season, where they were just such an anomaly, where they didn't play well at home. Carey Price was such an inconsistent goaltender. I really think this Penguins team is just leaps and bounds better, and I think they're going to cruise the rest of the series. So I'm laying the 165 with Pittsburgh today.
All right. Penguins try to take a 2-1 lead in their best of five qualifying round series with the Montreal Canadiens. My baseball pick, I don't have anything in hockey. My baseball pick of the day, coming off two straight winners now, baseball pick is going to be the Toronto Blue Jays. Hyunjin Ryu, the lefty, for the Jays taking on the Atlanta Braves. The Braves walloped them yesterday. I believe it was 10-1. Don't hold me to that, but I think that's what it was. I'm taking the Blue Jays just because I like the price. Just like with the White Sox yesterday, I didn't think they should have been a dog. And we took plus 118 against the Tribe yesterday. Was it against the Tribe? No, that was the previous night against Cincinnati. Who did the White Sox play yesterday?
The Brewers.
The Brewers, yeah. It all runs. All these bets run into each other. There's so many sports going on at once. I just didn't think they should be a dog, and we got the price, and it worked out, plus 118. That's baseball betting a lot. You're just like, oh, I like the price. I hope it works out. Same thing with the Blue Jays here today. I don't think they should be a dog. If they should be a dog, it should be a very minimal dog. Instead, they're catching plus 123-ish. What do we have? Plus 125, let's call it. Odds via vsin.com. So I'm taking Ryu against Newcomb and the Braves in a battle of lefties. The Jays at plus 125 are my baseball pick of the day. Anything NBA for you, Dano?
Nah, it's going to be in-game stuff per usual, but I was just going to go back to that Blue Jays pick because when I came in this morning, it was funny. We were talking about what you were betting, and I was like, I saw this game last night, and I was Gil's probably going to have this as a bet because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, that's a pretty good value with Ryu on the mound. Newcomb, if anything, you're going to fade him with a Rocky outing the last time. I was like, Gil's going to be on this because I was considering it a little bit too.
Every day for me in baseball, based on the bets I have, it's every Corey Seager at bat is big news. What did Seager do? Single RBI? Excellent last night. Because I have him 30-1, Jason Weingart and I both to win the NL MVP. And the other one is I have the Blue Jays, right? The Blue Jays season win total over. I have the Dodgers season win total over too. But I got the Jays season win total over. And of course, I have this 200-1 on them to win it all. So I want to be able to earn with that, get them to the postseason. But I do like that price today, plus 125. My only basketball pre-flop play, I played it yesterday. I don't think you can get this number anymore. But the under in the Sixers game, which I believe was 233 when I got it, might be 231 now. If you can get it at 232, I'd go under on the Sixers. That's my basketball play of the day. Pre-flop, the only thing I'm willing to do in the NBA. Dave Tindall on the PGA next. From England, it's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
BetMGM Sports wants you to start out with amazing odds during this August like no other. That's why they're giving new customers a chance to win 100 United States dollars in free bets when you place a $1 wager on the Lakers-Thunder game. And if either team hits a three, you win $100. All you got to do is sign up, make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this special offer. There's never been a summer like this before, and there's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets when you bet $1 on the Lakers-Thunder game and either team hits a three. Just one three. One shot behind the arc. Goes in. Winner. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. Or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Gil Alexander, Danny Berg behind the glass. Danny, producer number five, Jeff Parlay, just checked in with me. And he says... He goes, DK DraftKings in New Jersey has top 20 markets for the first round at the PGA. I don't ever remember, at least legal jurisdictions, I don't ever remember seeing that before.
That's beautiful.
That's an interesting. I wonder what those prices. I didn't really ask him what the prices were on some of those players, but that would be interesting to see. You got to love, though, that, you know, more and more different markets appearing. Here's a gentleman who... always has access to all kinds of different golf markets, regardless of tournament. He's one of our favorite guests whenever a major comes around. He does a podcast with my old buddy Dave Kellner over there. We used to do an NFL podcast, me and Dave Kellner. Dave's been in studio here at the South Point. But it's Dave Tindall, ladies and gentlemen, from somewhere in England on the screen there via the magic of Skype. How you doing, Dave? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in North England. In place near Leeds. So yeah, ready to go. 4:42 in the afternoon it is here. I've just gone past that. So
yes.
It's a tough one. These West Coast majors are tough for us.
What time?
8 hours.
Well, what time does a West Coast major then, what time of day is that for you?
So if you want to stay up and watch till the end, you're 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning. So it's a tough one.
Now you know how we feel on the West Coast about the Open Championship.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's also a different experience late at night. All right, Dave, we don't have much time here. I have about, you know, I got a little time, but 5-6 minutes here. How are you viewing the PGA? Who do you like in the outright market? Let's start there.
Yeah, I mean, I've come at this from a number of ways. I mean, we often talk about the trends, don't we, the piece that I do.
Yes.
So do you want me to go through that?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so again, I take the last 10 years of PGAs, and I guess it moving back to August by bizarre circumstances actually helps a little bit because most of these past runnings were in August. So I've looked at the last 10 winners to find some common traits, and the ones I came up with, and these are good because they apply to at least 8 of the last 10 years. One of them's 9, but the ones I've got are, I'm looking for someone who's had a previous top 10 in a PGA, aged in their 20s, very much the young man's major, this one. 8 of the last 10 have been in their 20s. Ranked in the world's top 25. I think more and more in majors these days we see one of the top players win. Also a good one, has won a stroke play event this season. Of course, we've missed a chunk of the season because of COVID, but I guess nowadays the season started way back in September, so we've had a good chunk of season for that to apply. And also something that picks up on current form is the player needs to have had a top 20 in their last 2 starts. That's actually 9 of the last 10. So you can't really play one of these on the back of nothing.
I love this. I love the Dave Tindall formula as we sort of winnow down to who qualifies for all of these characteristics. By the way, you can follow Dave at Dave Tindall. That's T-I-N-D-A-L-L golf on Twitter. All right. So given those parameters, who qualifies?
Yeah, I mean, it knocks an awful lot of people out. For example, Rory's now 31 in these things. He's been a 20 something in these trends pieces for the last few years, but obviously now 31 and, so he doesn't qualify. So it does actually throw up 4 names, and they are John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, and Tyrrell Hatton.
Oh, I like that last one because I have a bet on Hatton. So say that again, Dave. Repeat those 4.
Yeah, so the 4 that come through all those checks, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed, and Tyrrell Hatton.
Watch Patrick Reed be the fly in my ointment. That's
but
interesting.
Yeah, I can actually narrow it down because I looked then. Obviously, we'd like to get it down to 1. You could just back all 4 of those and be happy. But if you want to get it down to 1, I looked at, because we're in the United States this time again, 9 of the last 10 majors held in the United States have been won by American players. So back to that list, you've got Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton, who are Spanish and English. So we could knock them 2 out. So I was left with Thomas and Reed, and then I was trying to think, well, I can't really find a way. And I just double-checked their birthdays, and it's Patrick Reed's birthday today, and he turns 30, so he's out. He falls at the final hurdle, so he's 30 today.
Oh, wow.
So that leaves Justin. Yeah, wow. I was so happy that happened. So that leaves Justin Thomas, last week's winner.
Last week's winner, you like him in the back-to-back based on the winnowing down of the Dave Tindall's formula. It's interesting. How else are you betting this, Dave? I'm sure I know I listened to your podcast. By the way, your podcast with Dave Kellner and your cohorts on PGA events is so wildly entertaining. By the way, you can go to at Dave Tindall Golf. He retweets them at D Kellner for a golf podcast. They're so entertaining because, first of all, from an American standpoint, we're always amused by the turn of a phrase that you guys come up with, and you seem to have such a good time. What other markets are you betting here besides the outright?
Yeah, I looked at first round leader. You mentioned there about top 20 places being available. I think a big thing this week that I'm picking up is the weather. You look at the footage or the photos.
Oh yeah.
And people wearing beanie hats, and it's cold at San Francisco in the summer. So I looked at players for first-round lead. I mean, you could apply this to outright as well. I looked at British players, GB and Ireland players, because they used to play in early in cold conditions. So I looked at Shane Lowry and Tommy Fleetwood at quite big prices in that market because I just think to them it'll be water off a duck's back? Is that one of, is that an English phrase? Or is that one of yours as well?
Water off a duck's back. That's probably your guys, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You can take it in a stride, that kind of thing.
Yeah. No. Okay. So those are top 20s. You said those are the guys in top 20 markets for the tournament.
No, that they would be, well, you could play them in any market given the reasoning, but I think first round leader, maybe they'll adapt to it quicker.
Oh, first round leader. Else. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Give me the names again for first round leader, Tommy Fleetwood and?
And Shane Lowry.
And Shane Lowry.
I mean, if you look at the weather forecast, it looks as though the morning wave might be fancied. They might get better, calmer conditions, in which case Lowry would be the main pick there because he goes off at maybe 10 past 8 local time. And Fleetwood's in the afternoon, but obviously these things can switch. But I think Lowry, it would be a nice story. Lowry won the last major, which was like 100 years ago, and now he might win the first one back. So that would be nice.
I've gone a whole show, and sadly we're up against the end of it, but I've gone a whole show without mentioning Tiger Woods. Nothing on Tiger, right, Dave?
If you've got a bad back and it's really cold, I don't think that's a good formula. So I'm against Tiger this week.
All right, give me.
I think
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would take him on in match bets. I know that could be foolish, but I just think the weather. He says he's been playing home at 95 degrees in Florida. This is going to be a bit of a shock.
Yeah, Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, the famous statement: "The coldest winter I spent was summer in San Francisco." Never more applicable right here. Give me one long shot player, one flyer.
Eric Van Rooyen, the South African, good player by the sea, and is good in big events as well. He was top 10 in this event last year, third at Mexico, top 20 last week. I think young South African players do well early on in their careers in majors, so I think he fits the bill at a big, big price.
Okay, Eric Van Rooyen, give me one head-to-head for the tournament.
Oh, right. I think anyone you can take on Tiger with, I've taken him on with Brooks Koepka. That was a surprising matchup. I didn't think those two would be paired, but DraftKings had obviously Koepka as favorite, but I think he can beat Tiger easily.
Yeah, I had noticed that one too, and it's pretty favorable pricing on it too. It's minus 160, yeah. I think I saw in American betting parlance. So very much cheaper than I would have expected.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Dave, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for doing this. I'm sorry we run up against the end of the show, but thank you for doing it on short notice. Always love chatting with you. Always love the formula and the winnowing down to win outright. All the qualifications, all the characteristics, and it came up Justin Thomas and Patrick Reed, and then Dave makes the discovery. Well, no, Patrick Reed's turning 30. He's out. JT on the back-to-back. Thank you, Dave. Really appreciate it. Great to see your face, and please stay safe. So glad you're doing well.
And you. Thanks, Gil. Bye-bye.
Dave Tindall Golf is where you can find all of Dave's golf writings at Dave, T-I-N-D-A-L-L Golf. And I really do mean that about their podcast on golf. It is so phenomenal hearing those guys go at it. Every once in a while, they say something. You're like, what? I don't understand. Aren't you guys speaking English? It's so good. But check out his stuff. So he's got JT winning it based on the formula. Whole bunch of golf picks from a whole bunch of guys earlier on the show, from Rufus to Joe Pita to me to Brady Cannon. Got you a basketball pick, the under in the Philly game. Got you the Blue Jays in baseball. And Danny's got the Penguins in hockey. All right. Not quite as many picks as yesterday. Well, if we throw in all the golf picks, it's way more picks than yesterday. PGA starts tomorrow. I'm sure we'll be updating it in the morning on the show. We'll have Todd Wright on thoughts about what you could bet moving forward at the PGA at Harding Park in San Francisco tomorrow on the show. I think Felica wants to chime in as well, so Chris Felica will be here, I believe. And then, of course, Bill Krakenberger tomorrow on the show. Good luck with all your bets, whether it's golf, baseball, basketball, hockey, man, whatever we're betting. Sports Nirvana, right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.